It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, it's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It's great to be with you again here at Bible Home Church. As you know, we continue our series today. In fact, I suspect today will be the conclusion. Unless the Holy Spirit takes us on further, will be the conclusion of our series on Why I Believe in the King James Bible. And I've been interviewing Dr. Joseph Chambers, my good friend out of North Carolina, and we'll continue that. But as you know, we always have a little bit of beautiful music, and that beautiful music today is going to be a repeat song every once in a while. Yes, I do repeat songs here on the air because they're just so beautiful, or they have such a glorious message that I'm inspired by them, and I believe you will be too. Here's a great group. You know, they disbanded not because they didn't get along. They certainly did, but the two men who led this four-person group, sometimes five-person quartet, they just got a little old. That happens. But I'll tell you, for so many decades, they served the Lord. That is the Southern Gospel group known as the Cathedrals. And one of my favorite songs from one of their albums has to do with a great wedding that's going to take place, the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. You don't want to miss this wedding. And if you're not saved, you will not get an invitation to it. But if you do, it's going to be something absolutely magnificent. So here is the wedding by the Cathedrals. And then afterwards, we'll be right back with our message for today. This is Tex Mars.
by purification, that meant that they had sin.
They went to the Jewish priest to offer a offering for the purification of their physical sin, their personal error.
And the King James notes, it has to be correct, because Mary was born a sinner, regardless of what the Catholic Church teaches, and she praised Jesus as her Savior, we read in the Gospel of Luke. But here, in this false gospel, this false Bible, we see a change. Jesus needed
purification. Just like Mary. They're put on the same level.
Oh, we have a problem.
And to me, that's one of the most incredible changes in the NIV Bible. That just breaks every rule.
So Jesus is brought down basically to Mary's level.
Where he needs purification. He has to be taken to the priest and offer a gift for his purification. Because of the birthing process, see? The birthing process in the Old Testament had certain unclean features. And so once the birthing was over, they went to the priest to offer for purification. But the Bible says that Jesus was sanctified and sent into the world. See, that's an incredible statement. Jesus was sanctified and sent into the world. He needed no purification. Incredible truth.
By the way, I'm not sure that we communicated a moment ago. Virginia Mollenkott is a self-avowed. She's very proud of it. She is a lesbian.
And she's also much involved in the worship of Sophia, the goddess of wisdom. I mean, this woman is off the wall, you know, way, way, way. I mean, she's already fell off on the other side.
In her own words, she says that she did influence.
Yes.
In one way or another, the words in the NIV, and yet she says even at that time she was a lesbian.
Absolutely.
And now she's written
about it. She says she was born a lesbian.
Sensuous Spirituality, I think, is one of the names of her book.
In fact, she says she was in sin when she was living with her husband. Living in sin by living with her husband.
Just amazing. You know, we only have a couple of minutes left. Where do these false Bibles come from? I mean, some people would say, but wait, I thought that they took the King James and just took out the archaic words, the thous and the thees and the thines. What would you say to a person that says, wait, all of those changes you're talking about, that's not what I thought happened?
Well, you've got three new Greek texts that started in the late 1800s. Those Greek texts with Westcott and Hoyt have brought us right down through a whole generation, now nearly 100 years, well, over 100 years, of destroying the original Greek language. Now, they got it from Alexandrian manuscripts. And we don't want the people to mishear in this, that there is less than 1% of all the manuscripts that have ever been discovered
that the early church used.
Right, that anybody has used, right down to this era. I mean, about 1,800 different manuscripts or pieces thereof. Only 1% of them support the NIV and the changes of modern versions. Over 90-some percent support the King James.
So you're saying that two men in Great Britain in the 19th century, using only about 1% of existing
1%.
Bible manuscripts, composed from all of these, a compilation, a Greek manuscript, and it is on their manuscript, based on only 1%, that we have the new versions?
Exactly. Less than 1% of all manuscripts give us the new versions of the Bible. Over 90-some percent give us the King James.
Well, I want you to tell the folks out there, we're about running out of time, and the question is, why should people believe in the King James Bible?
My friends, we should believe in the King James Bible not because it has King James written inside it. We're not freaks to a particular idea of a King James. We are committed to the Byzantine, the received, the Textus Receptus, in which the King James is a perfect rendition. See, a perfect rendition. It is not a transliteration. It is a translation. What you have in most of the new versions is a transliteration. Men taking this and that, especially those Alexandrian manuscripts, and giving us what they think is a scholarly satisfaction of the Scripture. My dearest friends, the King James was true. A man by the name of Dean Burgon, a great English scholar who lived contemporary with Westcott and Hoyt, he himself established 87 87,000 scholarly, well-documented proofs that the King James Bible goes straight back to the original autographs. Friends, you can trust this book, and your life and your eternity depends upon it.
Well, friends, those were the final words of our series with Dr. Joseph Chambers on why I believe in the King James Bible. And I'm Pastor Tex Mars here at Bible Home Church. And I wanted to add some comments at the end of this. I believe it's been about a five-part series that we've had. And it's been a great enjoyment bringing this back to life again from the audio tape that Brother Chambers and I did. It's really one of the more exciting topics that we could ever discuss here. You know, some people are very critical of me and of Bible Home Church because we defend the King James Bible against the false new counterfeit versions. And I'm called all kinds of names, as you can imagine. Divisive, troublemaker, peace breaker, and worse, much worse than that. It's interesting to me that many people send me emails and letters and actually curse me, even using profanity, because I believe in the King James Bible. And they end by saying, after all this profanity, some people have called me, I mean, I wouldn't even repeat the names. I'm not just talking about slang words. I mean the bad words, four-letter words and on, that they call me in emails and letters. And then they end by saying something, God is going to punish you for being a divisive troublemaker. One person even says, you need to get saved, Tex Moores, you no good. And then he had a big string of curse words at me. And it tells me something, my friends, that these people are generally not even Christian believers. They somehow think they are, and they go to churches and to groups that are into all kinds of things, from the prosperity gospel to jumping up and down and waving their hands back and forth and oohing and aahing and laying down on the floor for an hour and a half at a time, claiming to be slain in the spirit. The most horrible buffoonery and fakery imaginable in many charismatic churches. And then you go in these dead churches, whether it's Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, or whatever, and they have a semblance of the power of God, but it too is really a fake, and they're cold, they're dead, there's no life to them, because they don't have the one who brings life. Now, let me tell you something, my friends. A lot of people have come to me and they said, you know, Tex, there's a man has a ministry also here in Texas named David Barton. And he says that he can trace the beginnings of the vile crime waves and divorce and all the other bad things that have happened to America to about the 1960s when they took prayer out of the schools. I always found it an interesting concept. Someone sent me one time a chart, and it showed the breakup of marriages on a graph line, and it went almost straight up, beginning in the early 1960s. And this chart was from Barton's ministry, and the person who sent it to me said, see, when they began to take prayer out of the schools, then all hell broke loose in America. Now, it's interesting to me, though, my friends, that in fact, it was during this same period of time that the new Bible versions began to hit the churches with such powerful impact. Around 1961, 62, 63, we had the perverted Good News for Modern Man promoted by the Billy Graham evangelistic crusade, and it spun itself into the Living Bible and now the Living Translation. They all have these new names copyrighted, so they can make more and more money off of God's word. But it's really not God's word, but fake God's words. And I believe the root of the drug wars in America, the root of the hippie generation, and the loss of an entire generation to marijuana and cocaine and sexual licentiousness and perversions, the homosexual movement, so-called, the drive to kick women out of the home and into the workplace forcibly. And now, I mean, if you don't have a two-income family, you can't make it. They've raised our taxes and created a welfare socialist state to such an extent that just like in Soviet Russia, women, men, pretty soon it'll be even children will have to work. Going back to slave labor. In fact, there is slave labor all over this great planet Earth to meet the needs, so-called. Really, it's the desires and the wants of America and the civilized West. They're taking 7, 8, 9-year-old slave labor children, beating them, and forcing them to work 16 and even 18-hour days in slave labor factories in third world countries in Asia and South America and Central America and so forth. So they have reverted to that. Driven women from the homes. Driven children into slave labor shops to bring people more and more material goods. We have seen the sin and degradation, the divorce, the free sex movement. All of that has occurred since the Bible, the true Bible, the King James Bible, was taken out of Protestant churches. In fact, my friends, there is no Protestant church anymore because the very word Protestant means to protest. And what were you protesting against? The perversions of the Catholic Church. But now, from Billy Graham to Paul Krause to Pat Robertson to Jerry Falwell, they all say, we're not protesting anymore. We don't have anything to protest about. And so the Pope John Paul II comes to America, and James Dobson meets him, and so does Jerry Falwell, and all of the other former Protestants meet him. And they all have something in common, and here's what it is. None of them any longer believe in the true Word of God, the King James Bible. That's the one thing they all have in common. They all believe in lying, false, satanic Bible versions. My friends, this creates a common ground of satanic belief underneath the veneer of Christianity. So whatever we see, whether it's crime, the crime wave, whether we see schools that have gone now from places where teachers mostly worried about students talking in class, or chewing bubble gum, to now worried about kids may bring a shotgun to school and blow their heads off. All of these things in society, we have gone into perilous times, as the Bible calls the last days. Things have waxed worse and worse, just as the Apostle Paul prophesied. Why? I believe we have left the Word of God. Certainly, prayer in the schools has had some impact, but let me tell you something. As a young man, beginning around 1959 or 1960, I began to go to school, to public elementary schools. We didn't have prayer in schools. We didn't open up the Bible in schools. I didn't even know what they were talking about when they said we've got to return to prayer in schools. We never had prayer in schools. And I was in the Bible Belt. Now, maybe in you old-timers out there, maybe you can remember the days when they really had prayer in schools. I can't remember such a thing. I think that's all a bogus issue. My friends, they don't have the Word of God in homes in America. And if they don't have the Word of God, why would they have prayer in homes? We're not in an era where the biggest problem is that we don't have prayer in schools. We don't have Jesus Christ in the hearts of pastors in America. That's the problem. We don't have Jesus Christ in the hearts and souls of the teachers in our public schools. That's the problem. We don't have the Word of God in the pews of the Baptist and the Methodist and the Pentecostal and the Lutheran and the Episcopal and every other church in America, virtually every church, except for just a few good Christian pastors who said, we'll never change. We will continue in the ancient landmarks of the faith. My friends, when you leave the Word of God, you leave God, period. He put this Word here on purpose for us. It is here because, well, He knew we would need it. And when we depart from the Word of God by going to all of these false Bibles, then we're going to go into every other perversion that there is. Now let me explain to you in the limited time I've got left with you today, the real issue here. The real issue is not the King James Bible versus the false counterfeits. The real issue is not whether the King James translators were inspired by the Holy Ghost and gave us a perfect translation of the Greek and the Hebrew text. I am confident that they did. And no one can point out even one error in the Bible. And if you think there are, then you need to get books such as Dr. Samuel Gipps' The Answer Book, or Dr. Samuel Gipps' An Understandable History of the Bible, and such books as New Age Bible Versions by Gail Ripplinger. And you'll understand the difference in the King James Bible and the fakes. Let me tell you what the real problem is. The problem is that God made a promise. He said He would preserve the Bible pure forever. This is at issue today. Bible Home Church and Pastor Tex Morris believe the Bible, just as God promised, has been kept pure forever. In other words, we believe in Bible preservation and the preservation of every word of the Bible. Every word of the Bible. Do we have every word of God today in the Bible? The answer is yes. And what Bible version is that? It is the King James Version. Now, all those who believe in the other Bibles, who put them on a pedestal along with, they claim, with the King James, or who have no preference, or who say, I prefer the King James, but the other Bibles are okay too, which is an impossibility since the King James is so different. Thousands of words different than the other Bibles. So how can they all be true? They obviously cannot. This is like saying that every God, every deity, from Vishnu to Krishna to the goddess Kali to Buddha and on are just as worthy as is God, even though they're all different. The Hindus worship 3 million gods. And they are not the same as our God of the Bible. But there are false pastors claiming to be Christian today who say that it doesn't make a difference which God you worship. No wonder these men also add it doesn't matter which Bible you have. They say there are errors in every Bible. I've heard this from everyone out there today, whether it's Dobson or Dave Hunt or Arno Froese. On and on, and Jack Van Impe and Paul Crouch and Pat Robertson, they all believe there are errors in all Bible versions. Sometimes they will actually lie to you and say, no, all the Bibles are perfect. How can they all be perfect? What if you had the book Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, and you had 5 different versions of it, and you notice each one's different? The plot is different. The pages, the whole text is different. Everything adds different. One has the boy's name is Huckleberry Finn. The other one says, no, his name is Jack Brown. Well, which is it, Jack Brown or Huckleberry Finn? It can't be both. You say, well, I have Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn, the New Living Translation. Well, that doesn't make any sense. But that's what they try to do with the Bible. But listen to Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. It says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. When Jesus came, He read from the same Bible that the prophets read from. It had not changed one whit. And He said that He would preserve it
forever. How long is forever? Well, the new people out there in all of these new ministries claim forever didn't last very long because all the versions of the Bible have errors today, including the King James. It's just not so. I like Psalm 105, verse 8. It says, He hath commanded His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Well, is a generation 20 years? I don't know, but if we assume that it is, that would be 20,000 years. If a generation is 30 years, 30,000 years God will preserve His word. But I like Psalm 119:89. That clarifies how long. It says, Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. You know, the Lord says it's settled in heaven. It may not be here on earth, but it's settled in heaven. And you know, I believe on heavenly things, and I pray you will too. Well, this is Pastor Tex Mars. Until next week, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.